The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. With the gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
Welcome into the show. We're going to see how this one goes, Sean, because I have been up since about 3:10 this morning for no other reason than my dad decided, you know what, I'm gonna have you take me to the airport because I'm going back to Nigeria and I'm going to schedule a flight for 6 a.m. It was originally scheduled for like 10:30, and then I told him, you know, I have a job, right? You know, I can't just not come to work because of taking my dad to the airport thing. I can't not show up to work. So he goes, you know what? You're right.
Watch this. That's what he said.
Yeah. All right. You got something to say to me? Let's do it this way. So, you know, it's hobby. Thankfully, I didn't have to go to a bush considering we live in League City. So it wasn't a tough drive. There's no one out on the roads in the morning, but I was in the company parking lot at like 5:10, hoping to get an hour of sleep. It didn't happen. I was done for. I thought, you know, I can get an hour of sleep in, hopefully, and be a little refreshed before I get ready for the John and Lance show. Nah.
You're just staring at directly in front of you.
Yeah.
Staring at the office.
I even parked my car away from, like, there's some parts of the parking lot where it's lit up. So I was letting me find a dark spot away from the light to see if I could get this done. Nah. I listened to a podcast for an hour and just reclined the seat and pushed it back and just laid down. It didn't work out for me. So we'll see how this one goes. I do have an energy drink in me, so maybe that'll work out for me. The Astros and their pitching was under duress yesterday. Thankfully, Fromber was great, and Seth Martinez came in and got the final six outs, as the Astros have now won four in a row. They win the series against the A's. They have a chance for a sweep today as they are gaining ground. I mean, Seattle won last night, but despite all the struggles, they're only 5.5 out, and we know this team came back from a bigger deficit last year. So a lot of positives now. They are going to miss Ronel Blanco for 10 games. We went from, I'm going to appeal, to, you know what, nah, we're not going to do that. You know what, I've rethought it. I've talked with my agent, and we'll hear from Dana Brown, who discussed before last night's game why Ronel Blanco decided he wasn't going to appeal. But all the word was, he's going to fight this. And then I don't know if it was the agent and Blanco who decided not to appeal, or the Astros. Hey man, we're in a tough spot here with injuries to our pitchers, and can we not delay this? We're in a 6-man rotation. Hey, make this quick. You're only going to miss one start. Don't worry about it. So as Dana Brown talked about, it'll probably be only one start missed for Ronel Blanco. He will take the 10 games. And through the 2 minutes of the clip I was going through, it was interesting to listen to him talk about how baseball doesn't really tell them what they found in the glove other than it was a sticky substance. And there's got to be a better terminology. What world are we operating in where the basis of you did something wrong is, well, there's a sticky substance in your glove? So we know if it's on the arm, your non-pitching arm, that's not allowed. But I'm gonna need more than sticky stuff. Yeah, he has sticky stuff in his glove. That's apparently the terminology we all have to use about what's banned and what isn't. We don't get into whether it's attack. It's could be anything, but as long as it's sticky, we've got a problem. So we'll hear from Dana Brown a little bit later. That's my biggest complaint. What can we, with all the numbers that we have in baseball, all the technical terms we have, all the stuff they make up for why a batter's good, why a pitcher's good, sticky stuff is what they came up with for why he's getting suspended. You gotta be better for a league and a sport who loves adding new things for us to have to look up, particularly if you want to be a baseball nerd. And you know what? We're going to leave it to sticky stuff, and that's why you don't get to pitch for the next 10 days.
Do you want like a CSI MLB?
I just
where they're spraying the glove.
Why are we sending it to New York if the response is nah, sticky stuff in the glove? What's the point of sending? Just let the man keep his glove.
Rubbing a cotton swab so they can, and then behind them there's a screen with a bar that's going 68% analyzing.
You got to tell me. 79%. Tell me what the product was. I want to know.
It is funny that all they have to. I guess in theory, the reason that they're sending it to baseball is just to say, yep, it's sticky.
Yeah.
that's it.
That
is just a simple yes or no, is the sticky.
And do we believe that glove got to New York overnight?
Oh.
Do we actually believe that? I don't know. Well, maybe
who's the official, like, is UPS the official
carrier of Major League Baseball? I don't know. I'm sure they have one.
FedEx,
maybe. But... Did Major League Baseball, it's a 10-gamer, so we know we knew that going in. So it's not like if he fought it and they found something unbelievable on his glove, they'd up it to like 40. It wasn't like he took a plea so he wouldn't have to suffer through a 40-game suspension. But that glove never made it to New York before a suspension was handed down. They probably just told him, hey, this is one where you can't fight City Hall. No matter what you say, you're getting hit with 10 games, and it was better than the alternative of waiting and waiting and then getting hit with 10 games. Like Major League Baseball could have been petty. Okay, you can appeal, but we're not going to come down with a decision on your appeal until your next rotation spot. So hey, right before as my laptop gives me a reminder.
That's a good timing.
Yeah, Oh, that's the email that Ronel Blanco got. You got your 10-game suspension is in your inbox.
Hold this.
Yeah. If I'm Major League Baseball and anyone does appeal my ruling, I'm going to hear your appeal but not come with the decision until right before your next start. And then I'm going to hit you with the appeal and go, so you weren't even going to pitch in these 4 days anyway. I'm going to deny your appeal. So now your extension is practically 15 games. So don't ever appeal one of my rulings when it's pretty clear, although it's somewhat unclear because we're only sticking with sticky stuff. But if I say you got a foreign substance, just take my word for it that you're not going to win this one. And that's what Blanco and his agent and probably the Astros decided. This one is not something we should fight. We're in dire straits, kind of. Just miss the start and come back, and we'll be good. And they do have the Brewers after. This series, it would have been nice to have Blanco in that series. The Brewers are a better team than the A's, and so far better than the Astros, at least record-wise. But first things first, time to finish off the A's, and close out this series, sweep them, and then welcome the Milwaukee Brewers into town. But a good night last night. And you just want to credit Fromber for being great. He's been somewhat up and down, but he's put together a couple performances now that you can say that reminds you of the guy back in 2022. And then Seth Martinez has probably been one of the more important Astro pitchers. He's filled in a lot of gaps, and he was very important last night because Abreu was soft tossing in the ninth as a couple runners got on. And, you know, you got the tying run to the plate as the Astros could only score three on a pitcher who hadn't pitched in felt like years. But it was enough. And Seth Martinez, a little bit of trouble. But as Abreu was not really warming up, but you know, just have to be ready just in case. It didn't come to that. And we'll hear from Seth Martinez when we come back. He talked about where the bullpen was and why it was important for him to to kind of close that out over two innings and you know, get the bullpen a little rest, because the numbers were coming out before the game about where they were as far as pitches thrown in the last couple of days, and it was going to be a rough one if Fromber couldn't go deep into the game and if Seth Martinez couldn't close it out. So all in all, a good start to the homestand, and you'll have your top three relievers available if it comes to that tonight. You know, the release of the schedule for the Texans is official. We'll talk about that. And there's a real tough stretch. That Dolphins Chiefs Ravens thing. Woof. That one is rough. If you're talking about a team who could, and it's not just about if they're beat up or not, because I think someone tweeted us and said, yeah, it's late in the year. All the other teams are going to be beat up too. But those teams aren't going to have to go through the type of gauntlet the Texans are going to have to go to in the short amount of time. It's three games against teams who made the playoffs last year in 10 days. And sure, the NFL can be a year-to-year thing as far as who's going to be in the playoffs and who isn't. But at a minimum, the Chiefs and the Ravens are expected to make the playoffs again. And the Dolphins are a team, in some projections, are going to be a 10-plus win team. So the projections would make you think these are three teams competing for division titles and certainly playoff spots, and you see them in the span of 10 days. The NFL player safety thing, stop talking about it. Yeah, we'll put in kickoffs to make sure we get the kickoff back into the game. We'll change the rules for that, and we want to still limit concussions, so we'll put in this new rule, which Sean and I have discussed and actually are for. But we're going to have you play three football games in 10 days and see how it works out for you. That seems like a great approach. And, just because you want to put a game on Christmas.
And three football games against three playoff teams from last year, including the two AFC title game participants.
Yes.
It's like, it's not only the toughest part of their schedule, what they're physically asking these guys to do, it's also the hardest part of the schedule, just with the hardest three consecutive games that they got. And then the hardest three-game schedule for us, because it's over a holiday. And so it's like, well, can't really talk about it. Or
you're thinking about making it about us now?
Am I going to have the day off? I don't...
Well, you have Christmas off. You mean you're worried about having to come in on Friday and talk about it?
Yeah, because it's on Wednesday. Well, so it's like, we can't really be like, oh, the rest of the week we're off. We'll talk about it on Monday.
Well, see, the thing is, the lead dogs on this station are going to be off that week.
I know. You don't have to worry about it.
It's probably true.
Ain't no way they're coming.
They're not coming in.
No. The Super Bowl could be on Christmas. They're not coming
forget
in.
About it. Forget about it. And obviously the station wouldn't be running like local stuff on Christmas, but the question is, will people have to come in on Friday? Will people want to come in on Friday? Okay, I'm going to have you think about this. Who would push to work on that Friday after? Think about it. Just consider the personalities here. You rank them from least likely to most likely, and that'll be how we start our segment on the schedule that's out, although we started here as we were wrapping up this segment. So the Astros win. The Texans schedule is out. And there's some, not news, but speculation about the Rockets going after a potential star. No, he is a star. But a star who no longer is in these playoffs because his team went out last night. So that should probably clue you in on who I'm talking about. We'll get to that and more when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So I posed this question to Sean. I'm not sure how much he's put into it because we've had a conversation about other things during the break. But the Texans are playing on Christmas Day against, I wouldn't call it their hated rival. It's just a team they don't beat, the Ravens. That's all it is. It's not a hated rival. They just don't beat them. It's more hammer against nail than anything else. But they play them as part of a Christmas doubleheader on Netflix, where I believe what else is it? The Chiefs and the Steelers also play each other. But it comes with this surrounding it. Beyond our personal agendas, which I'll get to. We talked about it. The roughest part of their schedule, it may determine whether they're a division winner or a wild card, or maybe, depending on how well they do or poorly they do, could knock them out of the playoff race. I know there's a lot of excitement, but are the Texans going to be so far ahead? Possibly. The division's not great, that let's say a possible three-game losing streak occurs, considering the opponents, the lack of rest in between those games. They do have a bye week before that rough stretch. Let's say they're a couple games up in the division, but they lose all three, and now all of a sudden they're in a chase, and that Titans game at the end of the year becomes really important. Just how the schedule can turn when you face a tough opponent. That's why I think for them, and it's hard to say this because the schedule before that's not easy. They need to bank wins. They need to be a team where they need one out of three to clinch a playoff berth or something, or clinch the division, because that late stretch can kind of disrupt your year, and who knows how healthy they'll be when it happens. So we'll get into more of some of the maybe landmines to see on the schedule as far as the Texans are concerned, and we'll let you know the primetime games. I know that's very important to people. For me, I was like, hey, beyond my selfishness about wanting just getting games out of the way so I can maybe watch something on Sunday night, I love a noon game. I don't want to wait all day. Now, the Texans have some Thursday night games, some Monday night games, but they'll have some Sunday night games too. And on those days, I'm like, give me a noon game. I want to watch my team. That's how I approach all those games. I don't care about primetime stuff. I know that's what people like because there's an added level of attention on your team, but I just want to watch my team play. I guess it's probably because I don't watch a lot of pregame shows or the lead up to games. I just will watch something else and click on when the game is on. So none of that stuff really affects me. But hey, people like it. You're going to get plenty of that, as your team has talked about quite a bit throughout the year. But Sean, as far as our personal agendas,
yes,
we have a Christmas game here in town, which means there's a possibility that some psychos who work here might want to work the Friday after Christmas, because, you know, if the Texans are good and they're playing the Ravens, somebody wants to come up here on a Friday possibly and discuss it.
Yeah, they're good, though. They might be in town anyway.
Yeah, they want to come up here, do a live show, discuss the Texans. Maybe as they hey, we're the guys who will show up and make that their brand. We'll talk Texans anytime, anywhere, any place.
And it is the most important part of their schedule late in the season. So,
you can build, hey, the holidays aren't going to stop us from talking Texans. You can build that brand if you'd like. Mm-hmm. You want to rank them from least likely to most likely to show up if that option was open for the lineup.
There's a clear bottom three for least likely. I guess it would be the top least likely, whatever. The least likely, there's a big three.
Okay.
Lance Zierlein, John Granato, Paul Gallant.
So you're throwing Paul as... We know the first two are clear no's, yes, on showing up.
They're almost like
we might want to exclude them from the list. That was an easy one.
But you John think, Granato.
Yeah.
Big three?
Yeah, it's big me. Everything revolves around me. I'm not showing up. So you throw Paul in there, too.
Yes, because Paul, when this game was leaked, he was immediately like, no.
Yeah, there was
I'm done working holidays.
There was a couple guys who voiced their disdain for that particular game. Like, what? A Christmas game? What is that?
Yeah.
And it was more about them than the Texans.
Paul doesn't want to work on Christmas.
Well, he wouldn't work on Christmas. It'd be the Friday after.
Yeah, he doesn't want to do that either. He wants to spend time. Well, because part of it's the traveling.
He travels. Yeah, I got you.
And so that is part of it. And he's in the past not only talked the talk, but he's also walked the walk with, I don't know, see me after New Year's. He's
don't call, don't text, don't write. Mm-mm. We'll talk after.
Maybe I'll send you some funny tweet I saw from a bowl game. Other than that, no thanks.
Silence is golden in Paul's case.
Next up on the, I guess, more likely scale, I'm going to go with you.
Well, I am connected to the morning show.
And so therefore,
which gives me an easy out if, you know what, these guys ain't working. Because if you don't know the history, generally I will take a week, that week off when they take it off, just so the whole show can take their vacation at the same time. Not that we hang out, because God forbid, but mostly because I'd rather not show up on a day. And you know what, Del? We don't really have anything for you to do.
Yeah, but, run greeny.
But run something else. Yeah.
Sportsmanlike.
Just give me the week off with those guys.
And it's the holidays, too.
Yeah, we'll just say the show went dark for a week, like we're Broadway. That's and like we're a TV show.
That sounds like something Granado would say when you host.
Yeah, would yeah. I'm sure he said that about this show at some point with his buddies drinking a couple Coors Lights at the golf course.
He can say it because you know.
No, he can't say it. He thinks he can say it because he's Italian and Greek, and his skin tone is darker than others. That doesn't mean he can say it. At least not around people like
company.
Regular people.
Yeah,
his drinking buddies, whatever. They probably said worse.
Next up, it's Joe George. As the kind of, I guess, captain of the ship, the captain of the scheduling
sure.
ship, there's a lot of problems that get solved with Joe that end in, you know what, I'll do it,
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, it's just, whatever. Someone has to do it. I guess it has to be me.
Be easier for him to do it than to try to find someone to do it, so sometimes he does that.
Yes. And then this is really by default. It has to be the Killer Bees is most likely because I just know the rest are so unlikely to do it. I don't really know how to parse which one of the bees are more likely.
Well, yeah, one wouldn't show up without the other, right?
No, they have before. It was on New Year's Day, I want to say. Yeah, this year, New Year's Day, Jeremy Joe hosted a show that I produced. So
because Joel was like, not that day. I got stuff to do.
Yeah. So okay. I guess Joel then Jeremy's most likely.
Okay. So if you're looking
just body of work,
if you're looking for before. A Friday recap of the Texans Ravens game after the day after Christmas,
yeah, for 7 months.
If it's
now.
Going to happen, it's going to be Jeremy, Joe, and like Austin as the producer.
Yeah, and a part timer.
Yeah.
That I mean, hey.
I'm not,
that's how I made money as a part-timer. Yeah, I'll work holidays. It was easy. It was 2020, so it was like
yeah.
not a ton of travel.
Sure. So, yeah, I'm not predicting anyone's going to show up for that Friday afterwards to get you all updated on the aftermath of the Texans versus Ravens. But if we do have a live show, a live and local show, it'll be those three.
We also need the Texans to be like,
good.
Yeah.
There's no
really
reason to
good.
Show up if they're terrible or this.
Exactly.
Yeah. They've suffered a lot of injuries. So the Ravens. So once again, that rough stretch of game is home to the Dolphins, away to the Chiefs, and home to the Ravens to close it out. And then they have the Titans to end the year. And the Ravens game is on Netflix. All the other primetime/standalone games, since that's really just all encompassing. The Bears in Week 2, that's a home game. That's their first primetime game, Sunday night, against Caleb Williams and the Bears. When we'll still have hope about the Bears, who knows what they'll be later. So it's a good spot to put that game in. You got the Rookie of the Year from the previous year, at least Offensive Rookie of the Year, and a potential Rookie of the Year at quarterback again. And maybe by Week 9, we're not having these conversations about Caleb Williams, but we will be having them in Week yeah. 2. So good spot
the
for that.
The hype's still alive.
Yeah, good spot for that. The other primetime games is a Week 9 game against the Jets on the road at that hellscape that is MetLife, mostly because of the turf. We saw CJ suffer a concussion there.
And the team that's there.
Well, the defense is good.
And the people.
Well, okay. The Jets have created a lot of misery for their own fans.
I just don't want to say that it's a hellscape just for just because that's turf. It's a hellscape for a lot of reasons.
And Kevin Joseph, my buddy, makes a great point. I keep saying it's a Thursday. It'd be a Friday show. It'd be a Thursday show because Christmas is on a Wednesday.
Yes.
Yes, and that's been part of the discourse about that particular game. The Texans are going to play on Saturday and then on Wednesday. So Wednesday football will be a thing because the NFL, I guess, must have Christmas Day because they're like, F the NBA. You know what? You think that's your day? We're going to prove that it's not your day. And this
yoink.
It's been a couple years now of them putting games on Christmas to try to steal some of the NBA shine.
But the last few years, it's been like, a Sunday, a Monday,
yeah.
where it's like, these are normal NFL days. Now
yeah.
they're like, you know what? Wednesday, you guys probably don't think that we're going to do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah, you think we don't have this in us, don't you?
Let's give them two more.
Yeah, we're going to put a double. We're going to see if you can handle our very popular team in the Steelers, the defending champions, and then Lamar Jackson, like the people's quarterback, and the hot young team in the Texans. Of course, it's late in the year, so who knows how good those teams will be, but it's a good bet that at least two of them will be in playoff contention.
They're not putting the Bears or the Jets.
No. I want to thank Kevin Joseph for correcting me on that. I had kept saying that it'd be a Thursday show. So
probably a Friday show, too.
Yeah. If they're showing up on Thursday, they're probably showing up on Friday leading into the weekend. So the next primetime game against the Lions, that's week 10. So back-to-back primetime games, and it's a stretch of three games in primetime for the Texans. They host the Lions on Sunday Night Football, and then they host the Cowboys. Oh, excuse me. They go to the Cowboys for Monday Night Football. And that's two teams, or that's probably the second toughest stretch when we look at the schedule beforehand, because the Jets are expected to be better as long as Aaron Rodgers is healthy. And then you have the Lions, a NFC title finalist, and then the Cowboys, who, at least in the regular season, are a good football team.
I just noticed, too, that's three straight weeks of primetime games.
Yes, again.
That's America's going to be sick of the Texans.
They better be good, because you know the slanders that's going to come the way of Houston if they're not a good football team.
Especially by the Monday game, they're going to be like, oh, my God, we had to wait an entire extra day to watch this sorry ass. And then the Cowboys, again? The Cowboys might not be that much better.
Yeah, the Cowboys, they're a great regular season team, but there are some issues there.
There'll be a fall off.
Yeah, are they going to pay Dak? CeeDee's still waiting for his deal. There are some things. Micah Parsons is going to be looking for a deal. There are some issues there. They're very similar to what's happening in San Francisco, where the two wide receivers want deals, and particularly Brandon Ayuk. And, you know, they got to make a decision on Brock Purdy. It's not immediate, but at some point a decision about him is going to come. And that San Francisco team is getting older. Another Super Bowl loss. Just things start to build up for them. So we'll see. As far as teams who may be worse than we expected, yeah, but we just kind of highlighted that three-game stretch and then the second three-game stretch, and it's only separated by 3 weeks. The Titans and the Jags, and then a bye, and then they get to the Dolphins, Chiefs, and Ravens. So the back half of the Texans' year, thankfully, is separated by a bye, but that's going to determine their year, whether they are fighting for a playoff spot down the stretch or maybe fighting for a top seed. It's going to be tough to go get one, but there's some positivity around that team, so we'll see how it plays out. But any questions you have about the schedule or anything else, 713-780-3776. I mentioned the Rockets being mentioned this morning, about a potential trade, because the calf season is over, which means the stories and the knives are out about that team. All of a sudden, everyone's upset with everyone now that the season is over. I'll bring up some of the points that might make Donovan Mitchell want to leave. He didn't play in the final two games as the Celtics closed out the Cavs. And Donovan Mitchell may want out. Darius Garland may say it's me or Donovan Mitchell. The team isn't thrilled with Jared Allen for not fighting through. Shout out to Texas. I mean,
putting his future, his ahead of the team. Wealth.
Yeah. Hey,
invest in yourself.
Hey, take this shot. He was like, "Nah,
no,
not me."
I've seen Any Given Sunday. Yeah. I know where it leads.
You're not gonna pull that on me.
Nuh-uh.
So we'll talk
not
about
losing the second round.
Well, we're gonna lose anyway. I mean, you guys still can't guard Brown or Tatum or Derek White. What the hell? You're not gonna make me look bad. Get better perimeter defenders. Got Sam Merrill and Dean Wade out there trying to get stops. And then I come over and Horford gets a dunk and it looks like I'm the problem. Now I'm going to sit right here, pick my afro.
Uh-uh.
He's got an old school haircut.
He does. Yes. He does. He dresses old school too.
Yeah, I don't mind that so much. I know people take shots because he didn't have enough drip, I guess, for whatever reason.
Some of the photos are very. It's not just not enough drip. It's like
no drip. It's
like Kohl's. He dressed like he shops at Old Navy.
Yeah, I didn't want to put a brand on him, but sure.
Sorry. Response.
No, I'm not talking about. It's not a no free promo thing. I just didn't want to drop Kohl's on him, but it is very TJ Maxey for not the good one in Philly for Jared Allen, but it's cool. Those checks still clear, and he goes, you know what? I want more checks to clear, so you're not gonna force me out there to look bad against the Celtics. So we'll talk about what that might mean for the Rockets, and we'll get back to the Astros as well. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So the Cavs lose last night to the Celtics. Celtics back in another Eastern Conference final. They'll face either the Pacers or the Knicks. We won't know who that will be, at least not tonight, because there's only one game tonight, Denver versus Minnesota. The Knicks and Pacers, their game six is tomorrow night. So the Celtics will have a little bit of time and maybe even more than a little if that series goes seven to get a little rest. And maybe Porzingis is back for the conference finals. We'll see. But I bring up the Cavs and the Celtics mostly because of the Cavs. I talked about it before we went to break. The knives are out. The stories are out about discontent from multiple places. It's been a storyline really since Donovan Mitchell was traded there that he wasn't going to be someone who would sign an extension with the Cavs. And after a playoff run that ended in the second round with him missing games four and five, the questions are building, picking up about where he'll be. And Brian Windhorst was on one of the ESPN morning shows discussing the future for Donovan Mitchell and mentioned the Rockets. He says the Rockets are going to be one of several teams who are going to place their hat in the ring and see if they can acquire Donovan Mitchell. And, of course, Donovan Mitchell can nip all of this in the bud and go, you know what, I want to be in Cleveland. No one believes he's ever going to say that. So this is why we're having this conversation. He mentions the Heat, the Knicks, the Nets, the Lakers. There are a lot of teams who are going to be looking to upgrade. And Donovan Mitchell, when he was on the floor, looked like someone who could possibly put a team over the top. Now, does it concern you that Donovan Mitchell only played 55 games and couldn't make it through the second round of a playoff series? It might for me. He has consistent lower leg injuries. He missed games four and five with a calf injury. He missed time throughout the regular season with lower leg injuries. And this has been a concern for him for years now, whether it be a groin or a knee or an ankle. He has leg injuries. He's only 27, and I know talent trumps all in the NBA, but do you want to have to worry about the star player that you gave up so much for being available to play? These are the things you have to take into account when you talk about the talent. I'm sure anyone who tries to trade for him will just push those concerns aside and then realize in the month of like April, hey, our guy's only played 60 games this year, and now he's questionable throughout the playoffs. This is what Donovan Mitchell has been. But we'll forget about that in the offseason because we want to acquire a star. And that is my concern for the Rockets, them attempting to fast forward this. They needed to get adults in the room. They traded for Steven Adams. They signed Van Fleet. They signed Dylan Brooks. I don't think either of those guys would go on a trade for Donovan Mitchell. It'd be your young players. Because if you're signing Donovan Mitchell, that means you don't need a starting two guard anymore. That would mean Jalen Green's either going out in that trade or someplace else. The Cavs are going to ask for picks. You're going to have to give up a couple. You got plenty. You're going to have to give up a couple and maybe another couple players to make the salary match. So I pose this question to you, Sean, before I give my full opinion on it. How much are you willing to give up for all that Donovan Mitchell entails? The great scorer, the guy who can impact winning, his ability to go against the best defenses in the league, particularly in the playoffs, and go get buckets, but also the injuries, the concern about the buildup of injuries and how available he will be, and really emptying some of your coffers to acquire him. And I guess the biggest question is Donovan Mitchell, can he be the best player on a title team?
I don't know if he can be the best player, but could he be the second best? I think he can be the second best. So I think he's the best option, the best realistic option for the Rockets this offseason.
Okay. I think it's a phone call, so I'll let you get that. I think you are right as far as best realistic option. If we are trying to fast forward this Rockets build into one where you are a consistent top 4/5 seed. But if the thought is that we're acquiring Donovan Mitchell, we're going to pair him with Fred VanVleet, Dylan Brooks, and 23-year-old Fred VanVleet for a chance at a title, I think you're you are maybe not naive, but you are suggesting that Donovan Mitchell is something he is not. I don't think that roster, even with the additions of Amen, who will be hopefully still here, and Jabari, if the main piece as far as young players is Jalen Green, along with Steven Adams, is enough. Are they even better than the four we see in these playoffs right now? Now, you expect growth from Şengün. I think Van Vliet and Dylan Brooks are tapped out as far as growth. I think they are who they're going to be right now. Amen Thompson, you want to see get better. Tari Eason, certainly. I think you are like a five seed. Because if I start ripping off teams, I think the four right now are better than you, even with the acquisition of Donovan Mitchell. And then you start to think, who else are you competing with for that? We know the Suns are a disaster. But talent-wise, I mean, Bradley Beal's aside, I guess. He's a talented player, but he's not a winning player.
They're two awesome
players. But you have Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. At their highest potential, that team isn't overall better than the Rockets, but if you put them in a playoff series, they could probably carry you to a series win. But that team is broken as far as how they're built. That team's going to be someone who you're always going to, Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, if they shoot lights out, they could win a series. Yeah, but they're not going to win four and win a championship.
And they got swept this offseason. Yes. In this playoff.
It's going to be always about what they could be, but never what they actually are.
Yeah, bottom half of the West playoff, that's where you get into. Because the top four seeds are still alive. The four teams still around. And I agree with the most part that they're probably going to be, or I guess they'll, no matter what, barring injuries, be ahead of the Rockets. Basically, regardless of any move that the Rockets can make this offseason.
Yeah.
Any one move. And then you get into five, Clippers, six, Suns, seven, Lakers.
Whatever the hell the Lakers are going to do.
It's a bunch of teams whose best player. Or maybe not in the Suns' case, but in that case, half their good players for the Suns are 35 plus and have not just 35 plus, but have a ton of miles and a ton of injury. Where Kawhi Leonard has not finished a playoff since 2020. He's not played the final game of his team season since 2020.
And the Clippers are like, so what? You want an extension? Take it.
We got a stadium to open.
We can have it, exactly.
And then their second best player is
Playoff P.
And currently a free agent. And
well, he'll probably opt out, but yeah.
And their third best player is James Harden. So that's a team where you look at it and you're like, their arrow is kind of pointing down. The Rockets, honestly, even without a Donovan Mitchell trade, their arrow is pointing up.
I want to mention one team we've forgotten about because of their injuries and them being off the radar. The Grizzlies at some point are going to be healthy again. And that's Desmond Bane, Ja Morant, and Jaren Jackson and others. That's a team that we're not talking about.
Yeah,
because of all the things surrounding them. But when they're healthy, they're going to be in the playoffs. And are the Rockets with Donovan Mitchell better than them? So if you're cashing in some of your chips and you are giving up on Jalen Green because if you see the clear upgrade, is Mitchell enough? That's my question. And you get into a bidding war now. And Chris, we see you. We're going to get you when we come back. You want to talk a little bit about the NBA. Is that enough? And how much are you willing to get into a bidding war with, say, the Nets? The Nets, yes, sure, you have a lot of the Nets picks, but they still have like six they can trade because of all the things they've done. So if the Nets want to go in, all in on Donovan Mitchell, are you going to fight the Nets tooth and nail? It depends on what type of esteem they have for Donovan Mitchell, because if you're acquiring him, it's with the assumption that you're going to be a contender. And I'm not sure him alone is going to make him that. As far as a title contender,
Not a title contender, but I do think that they can be upgrade from 41-41
to like 48-49.
Be like a solid play-in or a playoff team. Don't have to worry about the play-in.
Sure,
I think if they add Mitchell, and that's a big step. Not just obviously just making the playoffs, but also getting these guys, getting your Şengüns and Amen Thompsons, Tari Eason's. Cam Whitmore is all getting them getting their feet wet in the playoffs too, which is honestly like the biggest reason why that's the only bummer for the Rockets season this year is that they didn't make the play-in to get like a little taste of what real playoff basketball is like.
Yeah, elimination basketball.
And they but on the other hand, they won enough games to like have made it every other year.
Sure. It was
except for this year's Western Conference.
Yeah.
So that there is a little bit of you're kind of making a move to become legitimate before, like a legitimate playoff team before you become a legitimate contender, I would say.
I would agree.
And Mitchell's young enough to where you can go, yeah, 25, they'll learn, you know, that'll be phase two, and then 26 is phase three. And instead of, you know, if a Paul George were available to the Rockets or a Kevin Durant were available to the Rockets, you're looking at 2026 and you're thinking, ugh, I'm not sure this guy's going to make it to 2026 as far as being like one of the best players in the league. Where Donovan Mitchell, you have less of that worry because he is, what, 27?
Yeah, the thing about the Rockets is they actually have the assets and the, whether it be on the roster or the picks, to go make two big moves in the offseason if they wanted to go all in.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we're going to add Donovan Mitchell and then go get another complimentary player who can be a legit two. And Şengün, despite how great he is, could even drop down to our three. It's just that I don't know how all in they would like to go. We can discuss that and other things when we come back. But Chris, I see you. We'll get to you and your NBA thoughts when we come back.
Loot and Red Rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back to the show. A running conversation for us, Sean and I, has been the official release of the game of the summer. We might get into that as far as our planning. We have some aggressive planning, potentially, about how we are going to maximize that release. We might talk about it in the second hour. I'm not sure our bosses would appreciate what we're trying to plan.
Yeah.
We might want to keep that part of it to ourselves.
We're talking about when John and Lance and you all and Dell all coordinates to have a vacation, and they call it the show Going Dark.
Yeah.
This show might be going dark.
Yeah, in the middle of July, possibly. Possibly. But first, before we get to that, let's talk to Chris. He wants to talk a little bit of NBA. What's up, Chris?
What's up, Del? Hey, man. Love your show. Listen to it every day. It's my first time to call. It's easy to call in the morning for the guys. But, hey, since you're the basketball guy, with us having the third pick in the draft, I'm really torn on the center out of UConn or Rob Dillingham. And my vote, I just want to get your opinion, is Rob Dillingham only because he can create, and he's kind of like the SGA or like that guard that can make things happen. And if we're going to get rid of Jalen, I know Amen Thompson can be a point guard, but I really think we need a scoring guard if Jalen's gone. But I just want to think about your feedback. I do like the UConn center too, but I'm just torn what to do. Or do you think the Rockets are going to ship the pick? And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys. Love the show.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thank you. Yeah, Chris does frequently call into the morning show. Thanks for calling in here. See, the thing is, if they're shipping the pick, it's expected for a scoring option. So does that mean you don't need one, right? The pick was probably going out in the trade along with Jalen Green. So you would get that pick. You would use that pick to go acquire a lead guard. Now, if they keep the pick, that means Jalen Green is either here or he might go out for a lesser option. See, these are all the formulas you have to kind of put together to figure out what's the Rockets' next move. Klingon's okay. I like him as if you are looking for a defensive presence. The Rockets don't exactly have a rim protector right now. Şengün, despite his improvements on defense, and by improvements, I mean he's trying. He's trying to be better. You can't help but try when you're with Ime Udoka. But he isn't the presence that Klingon is. Klingon would add a different element to them, even if he simply starts as a backup. The question is, are you drafting a backup center at three? They're not going to be on the floor at the same time to start. Despite Şengün's ability, he is still a center. And he's not to the level where you're going to space the floor with him. And that's not how he's best used. He's a hub. He can go get you buckets down in the paint. So it would be an odd fit, at least in my eyes, unless unless the Rockets are looking at what happened in Minnesota, and they think it could work there too. But Şengün would have to become a kind of a maybe a cat level shooter from the outside, which he is not right now, for that to work.
Yeah, I think this is where we have to remember that this draft, by all accounts, stinks out loud. So mm-hmm. you can't think of it as, well, you spent the number three pick on a guy who's going to be a backup center.
It's true. That's true.
That just might be what this draft yes. is, where it's either
a backup center where you already have Steven Adams.
Too. Yeah, so he's redshirting a year before becoming your backup center. That's
unappealing for me.
Yes, and the rest of this draft is guys that are either prospecty kind of, but not awesome prospects like a Victor or even Paolo, Chet, and Jabari Smith, the top three in 2022. This is like, again, this is normally the back end of the lottery. It's just the start of the draft is the back end of a lottery where there are dart throws for these somehow all French guys. And I saw a Topic was also involved.
A Nikola?
Yeah, Nikola. There's a Nikola in this draft. So you know what? Maybe just draft a Nikola. Seems to work out a lot.
Yeah, certainly.
I wouldn't be going to this draft looking to use this pick. B, I wouldn't be looking for someone who can come in and contribute, because I seriously doubt that there's anyone.
Yeah, who are they going to draft that's going to start or
even like this
in the rotation? Like if yeah, well,
like Rob Dillingham's teammate Reed Shepard is someone who Rockets Twitter has weirdly fallen in love with basically since Sunday.
Sure, since they got the number three overall pick when he's been pretty much in that 7 to 10 range for the most part. But now you have three and now you really want him.
You could have liked him at 9.
He'd been just fine.
But now you're talking about like a 6'3".
An undersized combo guard.
Combo guard.
Because he can shoot. Understand, there's a space for that here. Yeah, he can jump and he can shoot. I get the appeal. And, you know, he looks a certain way, so people might find that appealing for whatever reason.
I might buy a jersey, yeah.
Yeah. The Rocket, the Reed. Do they have 15 available?
It'll replace my Bobby Surra jersey.
Always got to have
Chandler Parsons.
Always got to have one that you can wear and not be called out for it. Yeah, maybe even some of the old heads go back to John Barry. You never know.
Scotty Brooks,
way back when. Oh, that's a real old head. If we're doing the Scotty Brooks stuff, if you bought Matt Maloney, you probably burned that one just because of what the Matt Maloney contract meant. So, but Eric, I see you. We'll get to you when we come back. Try not to go long here in the segment. But the Rob Dillingham thing would mean you haven't traded Jalen Green most likely because you still have the pick. And now I think there's a bit of a duplication. And you already have Fred VanVleet, you have Amen Thompson, you have Cam Whitmore who you want to give minutes to when he's not pissing off the head coach. So it seems like that the problem for the Rockets is they're kind of a glut as far as what they can do. I would shoot for the stars. Like if you're keeping that pick, go draft some prospect that you think can be a big-time wing and just try it out.
Yeah,
try.
My aim would be to find a superstar. If you're going to use the pick, find a superstar. Do not try to fill a role on the 2025 Rockets, because chances are you're going to fail in that no matter what. Even like the low-risk option probably will also not be a very successful option in year one. Even these low-risk guys, it takes a while for them to figure it out in the NBA. So I would just shoot for the highest upside you can get.
Yeah, and the Ringer has Nikola Topic or Topic as the pick for the Rockets, a 6'6 wing out of Serbia.
Love it.
So yeah, I'm there. If we're going to keep the pick, go draft the Nikola. Yeah, I don't know how good
I know
he
his
is.
Game at all.
Yeah, he's just under 19 years old. He'll be 19 obviously by the time he plays for the Rockets.
You could walk in and say he's the new intern. I'd be like,
we got a 6'6 intern. Shout out to you. What do you do when you're not here? The Dillingham thing, I like him as a player, but I'm not doing that if I got Jalen Green still on the roster. And if you don't, you're probably using Jalen Green to go get a star, probably a lead guard or something of that nature. So, Eric, I see you. We'll get to whatever you want to talk about when we come back. Trying to stay on time here. It's generally a failing proposition, but we'll be back.
ESPN 97.5. Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.